Psalm number 119. Psalm 119. Read with me in verse 11, and then we'll open up in a word of prayer. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Lord, I thank you for this psalm. Lord, we thank you for this chapter of the Bible, particularly this verse. Lord, we pray tonight that we can have a look at this verse word by word, Lord, and examine the truths that are in it. Father, we love your word. We're so thankful for the gift of the word that you've given us, Lord. Lord, so perfectly inspired for us, for profitable, for reproof, for doctrine, for correction. Lord, and we can't thank you enough for it, but all we can do is heed your advice, Lord, and hide it in our hearts, Lord. I pray that you give us a desire for your word, a knowledge of how important it is in the lives of all of us, dear Father, and that you help us to continue in your word, Lord. Not just reading it and hearing it, but being doers of the word as well, Lord. So I thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the gift of the Bible, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this verse is, I don't know whether this is David speaking in this psalm, but the verse here has a truth that is really valuable, and that is that there is a solution to the sins of our heart. Now, David or whoever the psalmist is, I did sort of look into it and I couldn't figure out who it was that wrote this psalm, but they have a good understanding of their sinful state. They have an understanding that the Word of God is the solution for that. And this is important for us to realize because we live in a world that is filled with distractions, a world that is filled with temptation. And of course, our nature, our fallen nature inherited by Adam, will lead us into sin all the time. James talks about how when we sin, we're led away of our own lust and enticed, drawn away by our own lust and enticed. This verse teaches us that there's a tool that God has given us. There's a solution to the sin that we so often struggle with. We can have victory over sin through the Word of God, and more specifically, by hiding it in our hearts. Now, what does that mean? First of all, let's start with the first two words of this verse, thy word. What is the Word of God? What power is contained in the Word of God? Now, for me, this all came home in the first word, thy word, God's word. This is not just wisdom from man. It's not a book or a historical piece of literature. This isn't just a self-help program. The Word of God is the word that has come from the almighty, all-knowing, perfect God. That is ultimately what the whole verse hinges on. What is the value of God's word? How and why is it so far above that of man? Well, firstly, consider with me that the word of God belongs to God. It is from God. It originated with God, and therefore it is unique. Therefore it is powerful. Therefore it is pure, and it reflects the character of God. And then secondly, notice with me, I want to flick back and forth through a few passages in the Bible and topically pull out some ideas that the Bible talks about the Word of God. What attributes are there to the Word of God? What is it that makes it so powerful, so able to cleanse our hearts from the desire for sin, to give us a desire to flee from sin? And what power is in it to keep us from sin, to sanctify us, to separate us? Firstly, there's the wisdom of God contained in His Word. Man's wisdom fails. Man's wisdom falls apart. The First Corinthians talks about this a lot in the first couple of chapters. There's the wisdom of man that comes to naught, as the chapter describes it. I'll read a couple of verses. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Now, this context here in 1 Corinthians is talking about the truth of the gospel and the wisdom that is contained in the truths of the gospel and what Jesus did for us. But we can apply this thought that everything that God does is out of His divine wisdom, and that includes having spoken His word, having inspired His word, the authors He chose, the historical time frame, everything about what God did in the inspiration, in the breathing out of His word was perfect in His divine wisdom. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 6 says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. We see in the New Testament that the Jewish leaders, this verse talks about the princes of this world, which a lot of scholars say that this is most likely referring to the Jewish people, the Pharisees particularly. They had a wisdom. They were caught up in tradition, but the wisdom was not from on high. The wisdom was man-made. It was created. It was manufactured by their own minds, by their own wisdom. How often do we fall into the temptation as Christians to run to the wisdom of man when we're confronted with the seriousness of our sin, instead of going to the Word of God when it's so readily available to us, it's so proven, it's so powerful, it's pure, it's living, it is associated with the one, only, perfect being in the universe who breathed it out, who inspired it through His chosen prophets and servants. Why don't we run to God's Word instead? And that's a challenge to all of us. Secondly, consider with me the activity, the aliveness, the life of God's Word. Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Now, I want to have a look more closely at those two words. Quick has the idea of being alive. There's a life to the Word of God. And if you've read the Word of God, if you've spent time in the Word of God, if you know the Lord, you know exactly what this verse is talking about. When you get down on your knees and you talk to the Lord and you read His Word and you ask Him to show you the truths in His Word, to help you to understand them, you know that this is nothing like any book that man has designed, any book that is filled with the wisdom of man, because it is almost different every time you read it. The truths are the same, but God shows you new applications, new gems you can pull from each text every time you go back to your favorite book or your favorite chapter or anywhere in the Bible. There's always something new that God can show you. And that is because the Word of God is quick and powerful. There's a life to it. The word powerful there has the idea of activity. It is active, it is moving, it is living. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And when you read Psalm 119 and verse 11, you see that knowledge from the psalmist. They have an understanding that the Word of God is indeed like a two-edged sword. And so they see that as their tool given by God, the gift given by God that they run to in times of distress due to their sin. There's an awareness of sin, and then there's a knowledge that the Word of God is the only solution to that sin. We must obey God's Word. We must value God's Word, just like the psalmist does here. And next, consider with me the truth that lies in the Word of God. In John 17, and I'll get you to turn there, turn to John 17. John chapter 17 and verse 14, we'll start and we'll read down. John 17 and we'll start in verse 14, we'll read down to verse 17. "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them." Now, I should say as well, the context of this is the prayer of Jesus to the Father for His disciples, or for those that know the Lord, but particularly His disciples in this text. "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." That is enough of a statement as to the purity, the truth of God's word that creates a uniqueness, a knowledge of the uniqueness of God's word, because everything that man says, we're full of our own sinful desires in what we speak, in what we say, and in the way we think. But God is so perfect, He is sinless, and He is the source of all truth. The first word there, sanctify, has the idea of separating something. Jesus is asking that the Father sanctify, separate His disciples from the world, separate them from evil through the truth that has been given to them. And then He says, "Thy word is truth." What a beautiful thought there, that we can have a complete assurance and a complete trust in the fact that God's word is completely true. Every single word we can trust, and we can run to God's word as the only source of unadulterated truth in existence, especially when you think of all of the different philosophies and literature and man's knowledge that we run to for all sorts of different problems that we have in our life. We can know that God's word is the only source of eternal truth. And then consider with me the fact that God's word has the power to nourish and grow every Christian. 1 Peter 2 verse 1 says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." So this is a beautiful illustration of the work of the Word of God, the work of the Spirit through the Word of God, because the Word of God is ultimately a tool that the Holy Spirit uses in the life of every Christian to sanctify, as Jesus said, them from their sin. But just like a baby needs its mother's milk for the nutrients and the enzymes and the vitamins and everything that is required for that baby to grow and become healthy, just like that, the Word of God is completely necessary for every Christian. From the moment you become born again, if you want to grow in your knowledge of God, in your love for God, in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, you must be in the Word of God. Unfortunately, not unfortunately, it's a glorious beauty to be able to spend that time in the Word of God. Unfortunately is not the correct word. But you have no hope of functioning remotely as a Christian if you're not soaking your mind in the Word of God every single day. I've found the times in my life where I've struggled with sin the most. I've had absolutely no hope of beating sin, of having victory over sin, because I'm not filling my mind with God's Word. And like the psalmist says, not only am I not filling my mind with God's Word, but I'm not treasuring it in my heart. I'm not hiding it in my heart so that I won't sin against God. So we must understand the importance of the Word of God in nourishing us. And that growth creates in us, again, the fruit of the Spirit that gives us that love, that joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And then when we have those things, we don't want to sin nearly as much. That's why the psalmist recognizes that the Word of God is the tool to be used to get victory over sin. So let's go back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 in verse 11. And we'll focus on the last few, on the second part of that psalm. Psalm 119, verse 11. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart." What does that mean? What is the psalmist saying when they say they've hid the word of God in their heart? We've established here that the word of God is completely, perfectly ordained of God to be a tool, to be used, to purify the life of every single Christian, to grow them, to nourish them, to purify them. Jesus says that thy word is truth and that God's truth will sanctify the Christian. But now, what are we to do with that word? The psalmist here says, "I have hid it in my heart." The word hide there, or hid, it has the idea of storing it away, almost hoarding it, but treasuring it in your heart. And the truth is that we see in the intention of the psalmist here, the way that they've worded this, that there's something that you have to do with the word of God that's not merely reading it, letting it go in one ear, and letting it go out the other. You have to literally hide it in your heart. And what does your heart represent? Your heart represents everything that you desire, everything that you love, everything that you think about, everything that you purpose to, aspire to. It belongs in your heart. What do you love? If you love the Word of God, you will hide the truths of the Word of your God, of the Word of God in your heart. And that's why the psalmist uses the word heart here. And then let's look at the direct result. What is the result of this action? The word "that" there, ma'an in the Hebrew, literally means the motive being. So what he's saying here is, "Thy word have I hid in my heart," mine heart, God's all-powerful, purifying, active, living word, I've treasured, I've put away, not just in my mind, not just in my head for a few minutes and then back in my drawer, I've treasured it in my heart. And the result of that, the motive of that, is that I might not sin against thee. So we see here a knowledge of the psalmist. We see that they have a knowledge of their propensity to sin. They have a desire not to sin. They have clearly they have a love for the Word of God that has drawn them to a place where they hate sin. "That I might not sin against thee." Their intention, their motive, indicated by the Hebrew word there behind the word "that," translated as "that," is that they don't want to sin. They have, by exposing themselves to the Word of God, not only exposing themselves to the Word of God, but meditating and loving the Word of God, treasuring the Word of God in their heart, they have come to a place where they desire to be free from sin. They desire to have victory over sin. If you haven't got that desire, if you're living in sin and it doesn't faze you, there's some problems there. There are a lot of problems there. And ultimately, the Word of God is what will bring you to the point of desiring to have the sin gone out of your life. So do you hate sin? Do you take sin seriously? And then secondly, the psalmist recognizes that the Word of God truly is the only solution for them. It's the only way to be free from sin, the only way to have victory over sin. So the challenge in this verse for me is that we must recognize the true power of God's Word. We have to recognize the fact that we are all sinful creatures. We live in a world that is constantly tempting us, constantly drawing us away into distraction, into lustful and evil desires. But there's a solution. God's given us this beautiful tool called the Bible, and we can rest in that to know that it is completely reliable. It is pure. It is the Word of God. It is unadulterated truth. It is a gift from on high. And we can use that if we recognize that it is a solution for us. And it not only will we desire to have the sin gone from our life, but it will be effective. We will find the more that you treasure the Word of God in your heart, the more you will be free from sin. Now, there's also the thought of how do you read your Bible? How often do you spend time in the Word of God? And then how, because you can ritualistically read 3 to 4 or 5 chapters a day in the hopes of having God work in your life, but you're not letting it sink into your heart. When you read the Word of God, do you slow down and do you take notice of the truths that are in it? And do you love them? Do you find that they're life-changing? Do you find that they're absolutely so valuable to you? And if you do that, you'll find that you will treasure these things in your heart. One thing I like to do is when you've gotten up in the morning or if you read your Bible at night or both, when you've found something that God's really helped you, really stuck out to you in that particular scripture, think about that particular thing, even if you can't remember much else from that particular time of devotion, preach that to yourself for the rest of the day. And you will find the most amazing blessing from that. You'll find more victory over sin. You'll find victory over temptation. That's the challenge for tonight. We must see the Word of God as purifying, as powerful as it is, and run to it. Don't run to man's wisdom. Don't run to your own intuition, your own sinful fleshly concoctions. God's got a solution. God's got a tool that He's given us. Run to the Word of God. All right, that's all I've got.